From the common lectionary for this Lord's Day, we have these two readings from Job. Then Job answered the Lord, "I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. God says, 'Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you will declare to me. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you,' says Job. 'Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes.'" And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he had prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then there came to him all his brothers and sisters and all who had known him before, and they ate bread with him in his house. They showed him sympathy and comforted him for all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him, and each of them gave him a piece of money and a gold ring. The Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, and he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He named the first Jemima, the second Keziah, and the third Karen Hapak. In all the land, there were no women so beautiful as Job's daughters. And their father gave them an inheritance along with their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and his children's children 4 generations. And Job died old and full of days. And our gospel reading this morning from the lectionary is from Mark chapter 10. And they came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet. But he cried out even the more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So, throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want for me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. This is God's good word to us this day. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts and minds be acceptable in your sight, for you alone are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I'd like to see the hands of all of you here today who in the past 6 months have thought to yourself or have said out loud, "Life is not fair." Now show me your hand if you have thought or said this in the past month, the past week, yesterday. Got to talk to John after the service here this morning. He's got some issues about life not being fair. Well, my hunch is that all of us at one time or another have found ourselves believing, if not experiencing firsthand, the idea that life is not fair. That life is not fair is a biblical theme portrayed vividly for us in the book of Job, one of our lectionary readings for this Lord's Day. Early in the book, Job, living around 950 BCE, is seen as a righteous and good person, a man who was blameless and upright, who feared God and shunned evil. He was blessed to have had many children, thousands of sheep, camels, oxen, donkey. He was known throughout the East as one of the greatest persons alive. At that time, according to the Bible in Job chapter 1, the sons of God, who were celestial beings or angels, presented themselves before God. It was, as you might imagine, a convention of sorts, where the agents of God were returning from their field assignments to report what had been going on. Satan was among them, one of them, I guess, and his demise at the hand of God had not yet transpired. For whatever reason, God chose to brag about his servant Job to Satan, telling Satan that there is no one like Job, blameless and upright, who fears God and shuns evil. Satan, being Satan, decides to challenge God. He says, "Look, God, you put a hedge around Job, so too his household. You've given him everything good. Take this away. Then watch what happens. He'll curse you to your face." And so the contest is on. In the ensuing days, Job is stripped of everything. His flocks are raided and taken away. Violent winds destroy the house of one of his sons, who is having a party with all of Job's children, and everyone in the house is killed. And if that's not enough, Job himself is attacked, struck down with painful boils from head to foot. Talk about a bad hair day. This was the worst. Job's wife encourages Job to curse God and die. He even tells his wife that it's wrong to accept the good of life from God, but not the bad. Job's three closest friends come to visit him. At first, they simply sit with him and say nothing. But finally, they cannot resist. One tells Job that his predicament has happened because he has sinned. Another says that Job is being chastened by God. Finally, the third invokes that Job should repent, for surely Job has done wrong and is now paying the price for his wrongdoing. Job's friends are relentless in their accusations. Their taunts against Job are so strong that finally God intervenes, telling Job's friend that he, God, is not happy with them, and that it is time for them to cease and desist. Following this, Job himself comes to God and repents of whatever wrong he has done. He says to God, "I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes." The result, as you know, is that God restores Job to good health. He doubles Job's possessions, multiplies Job's family, and grants to Job another 147 years of good life. This story about Job is an example for us, bidding us to understand that life is not always kind or fair. Sometimes, as with Job, there are no answers that make any sense. Good fortune can turn bad. Good health can turn bad. Good friends can become a nuisance. Life is not always fair. That life is not always fair is seen in our gospel lesson this morning from the book of Mark. Here we see Jesus approaching the city of Jerusalem on his way to observe Passover. As he nears Jericho, a town about 15 miles from Jerusalem, the crowds begin to swell. They've heard about this man, Jesus, a teacher of sorts, a prophet, perhaps even more. So, with great curiosity, they line the road. A beggar, Bartimaeus, blind, is sitting by the side of the road. Whether he's always been blind or has only recently lost his eyesight is not known. What is known is that for Bartimaeus, life is not fair. It's dealt him a cruel hand. He cannot see, so he cannot work. He cannot pull his weight with the rest of society. Since he cannot see, he has no means of being productive. He can't work in the fields. He can't be a caregiver to others. He has no ability to earn wages. So he sits and begs on the outskirts of the dusty roads of Jericho. How demeaning that must be. As he sits begging, Bartimaeus hears a great commotion coming his way. What is happening? It is Jesus, a Jewish teacher, a wise philosopher, a prophet, perhaps more. Being informed about why the big stir, Bartimaeus cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." That gets Jesus' attention. One thing is obvious. Bartimaeus may be physically blind, but he has great spiritual insight. He knows that Jesus is not just another Jewish rabbi. He's much more. He is the coming one, the Savior of all the world. The crowds would have kept Bartimaeus from Jesus, but Jesus bid him to come forth. Then, asking Bartimaeus what it was he wanted, and hearing Bartimaeus say that he wanted to see again, Jesus cured him. He cured him. And then he sent him on his way. The interesting thing here is not so much that Jesus cured Bartimaeus, but that Bartimaeus, having been told by Jesus to go his way, presumably to return to his family and friends, did not do so. Immediately, he followed Jesus. One thing seems obvious. Bartimaeus' sight now extended far beyond what was physical. It was sight and insight of a spiritual magnitude that would change Bartimaeus' life forever. So, what insights do we gain from these two lessons from the lectionary for this Lord's Day? The strongest people in life today, it seems to me, are those who acknowledge the fact that life isn't fair. Yet, in spite of, or maybe because of, the unfairness of life, such people continue loyal and faithful to God, to others, and to themselves. Conversely, the weakest people are those who bitch and moan and complain about their plight, the injustices that life has laid upon them, the wrongs others have done and gotten away with, since they have never had anything bad happen to them. The road for each of us still lies ahead. What will it bring, good or bad, right or wrong, fortune or famine? We do not know. But one thing we can know with certainty is this: when life is not fair, when we receive more than we deserve or less than we deserve, whatever that may be, when we have abundant joy or overwhelming sorrow, God will be there in that bad or good, walking with us all the way. This is God's good word for us today. Thanks be to God. Amen.